The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon. Lord knows they'll try. And welcome to Hour 2, folks, of the National Intel Report. Richard Carey filling in for John Stadmiller here again on this Friday, November 6, 2020. I have my co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson, over in the UK. We also have Stephen Douglas Whitener here. But we're on the line still actually with Lloyd in Arizona. And, well,
to answer his question, by the way, Jerome Pyle.
I was left off, asked why we sound like Fox News. I guess, I don't know, I have a Fox News crew. I would like to hear from each of you gentlemen. Who'd like to go first, Paul or Stephen?
Hold on, Lloyd. You're playing the left-hand paradigm.
No, wait, Lloyd, let us answer first, okay? So, Paul, would you like to go first?
Well, I don't know how much, Lloyd, you listened to my conversation with the previous caller where I was talking about contextualizing Trump, you know, because there is the angle of his personality, his likability, a certain charisma that he has. There is the angle of he's ultimately better than the ultimate sort of nightmare that will be Joe Biden and the Democrats. But equally, I agree with you. I think he's done a lot less than he gets credit for. I think he's had a lot less time, or he's had a lot of time to do more. And I don't think he is a libertarian. I think he is more establishment than we think he is. But equally, I think also what Stephen said is true as well. I mean, it's a bit like, you know, don't you guys have a saying over there, being a Monday night quarterback? Is that it? When, you know, if you don't actually, when it's easy to criticize from the sidelines. So I kind of think all those things are valid. But yeah, there's a lot of things that Trump has done which don't impress me. And I actually don't like the fact that there's almost a kind of a climate that you're reluctant to criticize Trump. Trump should be, you know, we should be allowed to say he's better than Biden, but still be allowed to criticize him. Because as the previous caller pointed out, he ran calling out Donald Trump's lies, or sorry, Obama's lies about how his economy was so wonderful. And then he did exactly the same thing. He just became the swamp in that regard. He was a cheerleader for low interest rates and the Fed.
That's right.
And yeah, so I mean, that stuff needs to.
Well, a lot of us have been hopeful he could do more in a second term, of course. Yeah, regardless, he has been an outsider, okay? And that's been clear. He hasn't been a typical Republican.
But he has it. You know who's an outsider?
He's done a lot of things.
The people they ignore, like Republic Broadcasting.
I think
that's an outsider. Donald Trump is not an outsider. When they say his name on the news, the fake CNN,
when
CIA,
you look at a lot of the things that he has done, for example, he won't denounce white supremacy as the greatest threat to the United States. He'll actually talk about this critical race theory and how it's something that we need to get rid of. It's something that's racist against white people. He'll stick up for white people in that. There are examples.
Yeah, I love his rhetoric. He's hilarious.
When it comes to him being against the sort of a globalist corporatism, you know, that we've been dealing with, and restrictions that are actually just crippling our economy in addition to our freedoms. And he's had a nationalist sentiment as well, which has resonated with a lot of people here and overseas as well, and has inspired more people in Europe, for that matter. I'm sure Paul would confirm that.
I'd like to point one thing out. The chairman of the Federal Reserve, who you were asking about, is named Jerome Powell, and he's the first Catholic to be heading the Federal Reserve in as long as I can remember. So I'll just leave
Where did he work? Where did he work before?
He was at the Treasury Department, Salomon Brothers, Bankers Trust.
Anywhere. Anyway, yeah. Lloyd, but I mean, if you have some final thoughts, we do have another caller, though. We've been we've had on hold for a while.
I'm getting heated because I'm hearing it all day, every day, and I'm not against you guys. I love Republic Broadcasting because you let me come on and say, hey, guys, listen up. Trump's not a constitutionalist. He's not for the Republic. He's not, you know, but contextualizing it, I understand why you support him. You want to stay positive. Here's my positive outlook. Trump did nothing different economically because he allowed the federal government and Wall Street to play funny money. They are devaluing our currency, people. That's what they're doing. Trump was a cheerleader for it. And as long as they're doing that, they are enslaving us, because the inflation, that is taxes. That's slavery. Trump is the head of that. And he's gone, and the other guy's going to do the same dang thing. So I wouldn't be so fearful that Biden's getting in, because he's going to be the same as the old boss. The only thing about the new boss is their personalities suck. Trump is hilarious, and he's likable. And I can listen to him talk all day. But that doesn't mean that his actions have done anything different than Obama or George W. or our federal government going around printing money and handing it out to their Wall Street buddies. And I'm against government being in bed with corporations. And that's what we're dealing with.
I can't disagree with you there. That is a point.
The real economy is just a completely miles away from what he's doing. He's just pumping money into a bubble, and most of it's going into Wall Street and propping up the type of guys that, you know, that Lloyd's talking about. So I think that.
Well, thank you for your call, Lloyd. Though I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lloyd. Good to hear from you.
Did you want to finish your thought, Paul, before we go to the next caller?
Well, I think, you know, it's important. That's why we have people calling in, you know, to get you do get a good feel of things. And there's a lot of validity to a lot of the things that Lloyd said and the previous caller said. And as I say, I personally do find Trump perplexing at times and this. But it's a funny one, because I do understand a certain loyalty to him. But to some extent, I think because we're so, you know, concerned about the Democrats coming in, that we're maybe more kind to Trump, you know, and than is actually due him, because to an extent, he does lack substance. He knows how to say things. He's very, you know, he's a master of hyperbole. But it also is what Stephen said. You know, it's that swamp's pretty deep. You know, how difficult is it? I mean, I personally think if you had a president who actually managed to get in to the United States, who wasn't, you know, an established guy on some level, and then started to do what he wanted to do, I don't think you'd be long for this world. I think you'd be shot.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, here, let's move on to the next caller. Has been waiting a while. Al in West Virginia. Hello, Al.
Hello, guys. Totally disagree with the callers that called in, and partially of what your co-host is. Now, how many other presidents have you seen, or even political people, that has exposed the FBI, the CIA for their corruption and multitudes of everything, and investigated, you know, different things such as Joe Biden's family and all that crap and this, that, and the other. I mean, I'm not saying I'm 100% Trump, but, I mean, how many other people has had guts enough to stand up to them? So that's got to mean something, don't it?
Well, that's true as well. I mean, as I said, he is a difficult character to kind of contextualize, because there's a lot we do like about him. There's a lot of good stuff he's done, and then there's other stuff where he hasn't really been as consistent or maybe done as much as we would have liked.
Well, you got to remember, man. He's fighting 2,000 or 3,000 people up there. Everything he does, he's fighting them because they're all going against him. You know, because he hasn't drained the swamp yet, which we want him to do. But, you know, I think if he does get in the next term, I think we're going to see a whole bunch of draining of the swamp. And I think we're going to see a whole bunch of indictments. And let me say something else, too. How many children have been rescued since he's been in office? Most of the people didn't even know about was being, you know, sex slaves and, you know what I mean, all that kind of stuff.
Well, he's been anti-abortion as well, which is you know, incredibly admirable.
Well, that's what I mean. How many other presidents have we seen do this kind of stuff? So you gotta give him a lot of credit for that. I mean, just because he can't change the world in 4 years, you know what I mean? I mean, he's fighting. Hell, yeah, yeah. He's been fighting just to stay above water for a long time with this Russia hoax. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff he's been fighting.
Oh yeah, we're not taking that away.
Sorry. One of the biggest disappointments I had was he ran on lock. You'd be in jail and lock her up, and there haven't been any indictments except for one low-level FBI lawyer. But on the other hand, who's going to indict the people who are coming after him with the Russia stuff in the swamp, the FBI and the Department of Just Us, not the Department of Justice, but Just Us, as what he's had to fight with. And so they're coming after him instead of indicting the people that deserve it. And
I understand what you're saying there. I studied law for 30 years, and I understand what you're saying. But I can tell you what, I'll tell you what I think, what I'm predicting anyways. I don't have no facts. I'm just predicting. I do believe that there's going to be a whole lot of people who's going to have indictments. And I believe he's going to start cleaning them out if he can get back in to where he can do it.
What?
And even if he don't, he might still do it, because Judy Giuliani, you know, that guy's kind of ruthless there whenever he's on the side that he wants to be on.
Well, that begs the question: why have they waited so long? Why did we wait to do that until we had into a second term?
That's the question.
It's kind of like you're.
I don't know. It always seems like the president always waits until they're a lame duck, before they pull all the stops out.
It's a risky strategy, because you might not get that second term, and then you would look back and thinking, well, why didn't I do it in the first term?
Yeah, he's already got his playing cards in place. He knew they was gonna try to steal the election and this, that, and the other, and he just wanting to catch them. You ever notice that he was keeping all his enemies real close to him? He's smart. He's keeping them close to him. And then he gets rid of them, busts them. That's the same way what's going on here. He keeps his enemies close. You know, that way he can... I'll tell you, man, there's something going on here. This guy ain't stupid. I guarantee you that. A friend of mine was his chauffeur for years, and... he even told me, he said, man, this guy is unbelievable. He's just unbelievable. I'm not praising him like he's a Lord or Jesus or anything like that. I'm just saying that I've watched him, and I've watched him in action. And I'm telling you that he's got an ace up his sleeve, is what I'm saying.
I hope you're right.
I hope you're right too, man.
He's going to need it now over the next sort of couple of weeks or the next day or two.
Yeah, I think he does. I think he's got it going on. So hopefully, I'm like you. I hope so too. It's not that I praise him. It's just what else we got to look forward to. I mean, look at the rest of them.
The alternative
the last four or five presidents. look what we dealt with.
Yeah. He's the first one in a long time that wasn't part of the CIA intelligence agency factory, basically. All the way back to Daddy Bush, H.W. Bush, came right out of the CIA. And Trump is at least that. So, you know, there are differences with him. I mean, the caller was right about economically. He's going along with the system we have. I mean, I don't know. He's not Ron Paul. I would rather see Ron Paul myself. Yeah, I would. But
I'm not beyond seeing Trump shut down the Federal Reserve either. I think something was mentioned about that.
You know
what? Hey, let me jump over here just a minute. That COVID thing. You know what is it? DC or whatever it is, the national
situation of government. You mean what it called?
No, the one that's in the medical. They admitted this morning, this morning. I was listening to NPR, National Public Radio, which is mostly it's all left wing. It's you know owned by Rockefellers, but anyhow, they admitted it. Well, we knew that the test for COVID was flawed.
It'd
probably be a lot more people if we had a more accurate test. It'd be a lot more people that was, you know, what kind of double talk is that? We knew it was flawed. And it was everybody was tested that damn near.
Go ahead, Stephen.
We've known that test is worthless for a while. The PCR test, it gives like 80% false positives, and in no way does it test for the virus. It tests for just a little bitty snippet of genetic material, which could be present in anybody, and doesn't prove that you're sick in any way. It's just a weapon that they've been able to use against us by claiming that we have all of these cases. When, you know, so what? It's people tested positive for this particular little snippet of genetic material,
right.
That doesn't mean they're sick. And it's they've had plenty of time to develop a test for this virus, but they haven't. They've stuck with this worthless test. They put so much money into it for one thing. And another thing is they can use the numbers for whatever they want. They can tell you, well, we've got all these cases.
But that was funny that they contradicted themselves because they said, we knew it was flawed back in January, that it wasn't accurate. But we didn't want to say anything. But if we'd actually had a more accurate test, there would have been a lot more people that has it. They're trying to make it say that there's more people that has it than what they're saying. And they said, yeah, it would be how would you know if you didn't have a damn test that was accurate?
The opposite.
I think it's the opposite because all of these false positives are being counted as cases when people aren't even sick. You know? It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I know. They have constantly contradicted themselves too, Lloyd. They've
one more thing is, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
I know when we cut off here. One more thing is, in Pennsylvania, I heard too on the same 30 minutes or hour that I listened to this early this morning. He said I don't remember if it was Trump or somebody was. So anyhow, they're going to throw out a whole bunch of the ballots in Pennsylvania, like 2,000 of them or more, or 200,000 or whatever it was, because the mail-in ballots on the election wasn't sealed up in an envelope like it was supposed to be. It was open.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I never heard anybody else talk about it on the radio anywhere.
I haven't heard that yet, but that's very interesting. There are a lot of
Might be able to Google it or something. I don't know. It's Pennsylvania, I believe, is what it was. So, all right, guys. Hey, I'll let you go, man. Thanks.
All right, Lloyd. Great to speak to you, man.
Al, thank you for the call. Yes.
Oh, Al. Yep. I don't know whether this is coming from Reuters, or maybe I'm a little bit late with this. A Pennsylvania court on Friday ordered election officials to set aside provisional ballots cast on election day by voters whose absentee or mail-in ballots were received on time. Those provisional ballots were to be separated until officials could determine if they were validly cast, according to an order by the Commonwealth Court in a lawsuit brought by Republican candidates. It says, as ballots were still being counted on Friday, 3 days after polls closed, challenger Biden took a narrow lead over Republican President Trump in Pennsylvania. If the lead holds, it would give Biden the presidency. But then it says the Republicans were challenging guidance issued by Secretary of State Kathy Buchvar that allows defective mail-in ballots to be, quote, cured by giving people the opportunity to file provisional ballots. Republicans say that guidance violates state law. In a separate Republican challenge seeking to block late-arriving mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania, which is pending at the Supreme Court, the Republicans asked the justices to issue an order requiring that the ballots in process be set aside during the counting process. So they are coming up with some powerful sort of legal challenges here. And, Trump's still fighting.
Stephen?
Yeah, I can't imagine a Biden presidency. That's just a nightmare. I don't know. I've seen this happen in every state that Trump was leading, handily leading, and then all of a sudden we're going to stop counting. I don't remember any other election ever where they stopped counting because it got late. I mean, I've never heard that before. And there's no reason to do that. You know, they got plenty of people that would stay late and count the ballots. That's part of the gig when you take it. But no, they had to stop because it's getting late. And basically,
count up how many were down, and then bring in the votes that we need.
Right, exactly. They said, okay, this is how many ballots we got to go find, and so we're going to stop counting, and we're going to go out and find some of these ballots right here so that we can catch up. I mean, it's just. It's blatant in your face, man. It does. It looks very, very despicable. And I don't know. I don't see how they hope to get away with that. If they do, it's the last election that we will ever have here that will mean anything. It won't. I mean, this would be meaningless at this point. But, you know, no way would I ever trust that process again. Not after.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's. Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, if I was going to play a little clip over here because it got very heated and encouraged in the parliament over here after we had the extension to the lockdowns or the lockdown legislation passed. We also had 104 arrests in an anti-lockdown protest in London on Thursday night when this first came into came into law. But so, you know, that's the question: is it even law? So. I was just going to play this clip because it really is fantastic to hear this guy. He's a conservative MP. It's only about a minute long.
Okay, great.
It's powerful because, you know, even Theresa May, she said, for many people, she said, and she was condemning the government, and she's a conservative, and it's about, you know, obedient as an MP you could get. She said, for many people, it looks as if the figures are chosen to support the policy rather than the policy being based on the figures. So she's essentially suggesting that the figures are being manipulated. And this guy, I mean, this guy is just classic what he was saying. And he's called, he voted against the lockdowns legislation. He's called Charles Walker, again, a conservative MP who rebelled and voted against the government's legislation here.
As we drift further to an authoritarian, coercive state, the only legal mechanism left open to me is to vote against that legislation. That is all we've got left, Mr. Speaker. If my constituents protest, they get arrested. Given that the people of this country will never, ever forgive the political class for criminalising parents seeing children, and children seeing parents. Does the Prime Minister not agree with me? Now is the time for a written constitution that guarantees the fundamental rights of our constituents, a constitution underpinned and enforced by the Supreme Court.
Prime Minister.
So I don't. Maybe he didn't get the quality of that as much as I would have liked you to. But you know, he's really just calling this authoritarianism, and you know, really bringing it to Boris Johnson here. And Johnson just doubles down in his response, and you know, just continues this coronavirus BS that's what the country cares about. But obviously, he was, you know, saying that the government is coercing people into it, and this is just authoritarianism that's getting out of control, you know. So it's encouraging when you see that and hear that from MPs, you know.
Yes.
I'd say you need more like him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, there was only 37 of them who voted against it. The concerning thing is that you had the majority of Labour supporters either voted for it or abstained. So, you know, that's concerning because there is no real opposition. If you want to have an effective and sort of just democracy, you need an effective and just kind of opposition to the government to hold them, you know, keep them in check. But we don't have that. So,
well, yeah, and I was just sharing with you the articles I was reading about your new lockdowns over there. Stephen, did you have more questions for Paul about the lockdown conditions?
Well, you know what he said about the parents criminalizing parents and their children. What was that all about? When he are they?
Well, one of the things that happened over here earlier in the week was there was a mother and her daughter, which would be the granddaughter of the old lady. They went in to try and get her out of an old people's home, as we, you know, or a nursing home.
Yeah,
she was a 97-year-old, and they went in and they decided to try and get her out of the nursing home, and they were arrested for it.
Oh man, that's horrifying.
So these types, yeah,
they've effectively turned those nursing homes into death camps, and especially in some states here over here in New York, California, a couple of other ones where they intentionally sent sick people into the nursing homes to spread things. That just, you know, that
why is that not murder? How is that not murder?
Yeah, I can't see if they need to be held accountable for that stuff. And unless Trump is reelected, they never will be. You know, it's not that I'm, you know, blowing Trump's horn so much that he's so great, but at this point, it's the only hope we have for any justice.
That's by the time enough information got across his desk where he could be sure that the lockdowns were doing more harm than good, I would say, I don't know. I mean, you'd expect the president to have more information than us, but a lot I was going on instinct, you know, March, April, I already was suspecting economic reasons. But as far as Trump is concerned, by the time, say, summer, you know, that he could feel certain, all things considered, in his role in this and the amount of confirmation from sources, it's too close to the election. I would think that he could very well put an end to these lockdowns, this pressure with vaccines, if he gets his second term. But you know, that remains to be seen.
I was very disappointed he didn't push back against it more, because you would think he would have more power than he demonstrated. But maybe he doesn't, you know. Maybe he, because I remember him praising protesters in Michigan first came out to the state house, and they were armed protesters, and they were protesting against the lockdown, and he stood up for them. And then like a week later, 2 weeks later, you had the George Floyd thing where they turned off.
Right. We'll be right back, folks. Call in if you want.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
If-
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Redfield Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
God's finest little creatures, looking brave and strong, whistling past the graveyard, nothing can go wrong. Quoting from the scriptures with patriotic tears, we got the same old men.
We're back, folks. National Intel Report. Guest host Richard Carey filling in for John Stadmiller, here with Paul Edward Stevenson and Stephen Douglas Whitener. Wow, now I need a middle name. You know, I sound out of place.
Just make one up, Richard. That's what my mother did with me.
Yeah. Well, no, technically I do have one. But
what is it?
Oh, I'm Michael. Michael.
Well, that's there you go.
Michael Carey.
Richard Michael Carey.
Republicans turn on Trump and call his claims of a conspiracy against him insane. We have Maryland's Republican Governor Larry Hogan and GOP Representative Adam Kinzinger among the first Republicans to be critical of President Donald Trump's remarks.
Weasels.
Yeah. Kinzinger tweeted, "Stop spreading debunked misinformation. This is getting insane."
Well, they're just jumping ship like, you know, like little rats, you know?
Yeah. Chris Christie, a former governor of New Jersey and a Trump ally, accused the president of inflaming without informing, urging him to show us the evidence.
Well, he's and, trying to stop censoring.
We also had Hogan, governor, Maryland's Republican governor, Larry Hogan, who said there was no defense for the president's comments tonight, undermining our democratic process.
Yeah, they're just like, they're just rats in a sinking ship, mate. That's all they are, little weasels with no loyalty. They're just rhinos.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of things are certainly on the line as far as legitimacy. I mean, the political system in the U.S. in general, the polling industry, the corporate media, you know, I mean,
the future of
totally
our children.
Dismayed that that blue wave that they told everyone would happen never materialized. And, you know, I mean, everyone who was pro-Biden was expecting that blue wave, who trusts that corporate media. So, we're seeing there's a lot that won't be happening, you know, because Republicans are poised to hold the Senate. So, it'll render most agendas of the Biden campaign dead on arrival. A Green New Deal is likely, the court packing, statehood for Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico with the four new Senate seats that would bring, the massive defunding and restructuring of police. So, you know, a lot of this won't nearly be.
When you look at just how establishment a lot of these Republicans are, on the surface of it, it looks like it's kind of, you know, a restraint on Biden's administration. But, you know, already you're seeing these guys sensing Biden's the next guy, you know, and they're throwing Trump under the bus. These guys, I wouldn't put it past them for voting in for some of these Biden proposals, because, you know, they're as establishment as you get. So while on paper it looks like it's a reprieve to have the Republicans to have the Senate, time will tell.
Stephen, did you have something more to add on that?
Well, I certainly hope that they're not getting ready for a Biden administration, but no, it's, yeah, I agree with you about the rhinos and them just being weasels, rats on a sinking ship. It doesn't bode well for the future. Even if Trump gets another term, I wouldn't trust these people to support him at this point. I mean, you know, he should have all of the Republicans standing up there with him now when he contests this, instead of them out here criticizing him. And it's just part of the same attitude where half the news media did not carry his news conference. It's just, you know, how is that possible? He's being censored by big tech. I mean, they definitely hate Trump. This establishment does, even if he's been, you know, he's constrained by what he can do, I suppose. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see him as being part of this establishment.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller on the line. We have Dave in New York with us. Hello, Dave.
Yeah. Hello, Richard and company. I was watching the news, ABC News tonight and last night. Very interesting thing happened today. Before the news came on, it was time for it to come on. It says, please stand by. It just says stand by. And then all of a sudden there's 10 with 9 and seconds out to the 100, 8, 7, 6, 5, all the way down to 1-0. And then David Muir finally pops on and comes up with his opening line. It was very strange. And I think what they were saying that Biden is preparing to give a speech, maybe even tonight. And then they're suggesting that Trump might concede, but may couch it in a certain way, complaining about all these things. Well, you know, so and what I heard Jonathan Carl say last night, I listened carefully to these guys. He says, there is no evidence of any election fraud. Well, when you look at the logic behind what he said, he cannot confirm a negative. He cannot.
Exactly.
He cannot. He's not God. It's absurd what he's saying, but people eat this up because he's so definitive about it, and he sounds logical.
What
are your
know
comments
that?
On this? What do you think's going to happen? Are they gonna let Biden come up with a speech tonight, and then who knows, is Trump going to counter, or is he going to concede? I don't know. They're leading up to something.
No, I think, well, I'm just looking here. It said Biden, this is an article in the Metro over here. J- Joe Biden doubles Pennsylvania election lead over Donald Trump. And it said Biden had a 5,000 vote lead over Pennsylvania at 9 a.m. That saw one official forecaster, Decision Desk HQ, call the race for Biden and name him president-elect of the United States. They're trying to build up to this, handing it to Biden and, you know, getting the speeches going and everything else. But I just find it fascinating to think that you can't have two presidents. So, you know, what if just Trump decides, no, this is fraud and I'm not going anywhere? Then what?
Well, it's like the media is trying to call this election. Yeah. They're trying to say, like, they have some official capacity, which they don't have. People say, exactly. Oh, yeah, Biden gets the electoral votes, he's going to win. I say, when do they get the electoral votes? December 14th. And if it's contested by the other party, then how is it valid? So they haven't evidently listened to Van Jones talk on this, whether it's valid or not, what he's saying. I mean, it could be rather complicated, and people think it's very simple.
The media, as you say, this is all a big part of the establishment in gear. It's almost like the media themselves are pushing Biden into the White House. And as you say, I hear it time and time again over here in our media that it's, you always get it in quotes where fraudulent votes and things like that. And you think, you know, they're completely dismiss out of hand the idea that there could be some, you know, fraudulent activity going on. And you're thinking, how would you know that at this stage? How can you say that with any surety? But alas, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, but you know what? Well, you know who else is saying it? Most people who I talk to who just watch the news and things, they're saying it too. They believe it. But some people don't, because the kids have looked on the internet and they know that there's different opinions out there. So, I wanted to ask a question. These German lawyers are raising a case against Germany, regarding the government and COVID-19. He claims no excess mortalities worldwide or in Germany. Have you seen the evidence behind this? Because John Rappaport had written a paper and there was a link in there and I clicked on it and I must have waited like 2 hours too long or something and the link didn't work anymore. So, I mean, internet's getting scrubbed. Do you have evidence? Do you have his evidence for that? I haven't seen it.
Well, what about there's no
excess mortalities anywhere in the world, whereas the CDC and other governments have come out with papers saying there's huge excess mortalities. I mean, this is, you know, these are very, very different stories.
Yeah, well, it seems the general narrative over here, you know, because people like Ivor Cummins, who we've interviewed and stuff on the show here, on Monday show, is that I don't think there is any excess deaths this year compared to any other year. I mean, I can't comment on Germany or worldwide because I haven't looked at all of that, but I've been a little bit sort of focusing on the UK, obviously, and Ireland. But it does appear, you know, from when you look at the data, there isn't any excess deaths this year compared to last year. And the NHS and, you know, our hospital system, it's not been overwhelmed either. They're just talking as if it's true, but when you go on the ONS website, the Office for National Statistics, in the UK, there is no excess deaths.
Really? Really? Okay. Because if you go on the CDC website, they show excess mortality this year as much higher than in the 2017-18 larger flu year. You know, the CDC is claiming that. But so there's a disconnect here, and I'm just trying to find out what the truth of the matter could be. So.
Well, I haven't looked at the CDC's stats for a while because, as I said, I've been sort of focusing on what's happening over here because we're back in a full lockdown here again, you see, since Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Am I speaking to Wilhelm? Is this Wilhelm?
No. It's Paul.
Paul Stevenson? Paul, I could send you the information. You could take a look at it.
Do that. Have you got my email
I did. I sent you an email before. Too lengthy.
I'm not sure I got it, but what's yeah, send me an order. It's Stevenson_P5@sky.com. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good. I'll get that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Yep.
All right. God bless you.
Did you want to comment more on your lockdowns there? I had been reporting recently on some things I heard, like I mentioned, this mass testing for COVID in Liverpool, 500,000 people, well, up to 500,000. The Guardian reported were set to be tested this week here or this coming week. It sounded like this week that just occurred.
Today, I think that was, or yesterday, was it? Or
and a lot of the descriptions I heard from what the PM announced. Well, he made a statement on the 31st, right, on Halloween, and they mentioned that they had, well, in unison, a lot of these leaders in the UK basically, you know, are in lockstep, right?
They are. Yeah, and as I say, you had a few disgruntled and disgusted rants in the Parliament. I mentioned earlier, I played that clip, Charles Walker, and there were some others, Ian Duncan Smith. Kind of almost ironically, Theresa May of all people, calling, you know, these measures irresponsible, essentially just, you know, sounding more like us. This is Theresa May.
We have another caller, Danny in Tennessee. Hello, Danny.
Yeah, hey, y'all are talking about things on Trump and everything. Y'all seem to not be aware of this new information that's been coming out the last two or three days about Homeland Security election sting. You might try to look that up. Things have changed some since earlier today when I was searching that. The thing I was looking for came up pretty quick, but... I just sent an email to John Stadtmuller. I don't know if y'all can get to that or not to find that information, but it has a link to a story about it. And then it goes on to a link to a video with Steve Pachinik, if you know anything about him, when he was on InfoWars, I think, a day or two ago.
Steve
was revealing that there's special security measures put into the mail-in ballots, or maybe all ballots. I don't know about the polling place ballots or not, but Election Day ballots,
yes,
where they can determine real from counterfeit ballots.
Yes, I saw some articles covering that, and I know Stephen Douglas Whitener, he had been looking into that as well, and the what Steve Pachinik covered. Isn't that right, Stephen?
Yes, I saw that video. Someone sent me that video. And
of course, we're a bit skeptical. From all the intel we might get from Alex Jones and some of his featured three-letter agency people like Robert David Steele, Steve Pachinik, you know, you can't help but be...
Oh, well.
Take these people with a grain of salt, you know, but...
And I have heard people say...
Pachinik is pretty well placed, and there would seem to be no... What reason would there be to do that now, since Biden looks like he's already on the way to take everything?
Yeah, it sounds fishy. I don't know. It would be great if it was true, but I can't confirm it. And in fact, I saw someone I was communicating with online said that DHS had come out and said that the watermark story was not true, and I can't imagine that he would have made that up. You know, maybe he was fed disinfo. I don't know, but I certainly that's the best possible outcome we could have, but I'm not hoping for it at this point. You know, I would hope that it's true.
Yeah,
that they did do some more security. DHS did the security, and someone pointed out that doesn't every state print their own ballots, but there's a Department of Homeland Security in every state too. So I don't know. It's up in the air at this point. I mean, I got my fingers crossed, but you know, I'm not counting on that to be true. I don't know if it is or not. I did see that video though, and he talked about the that this was a sting, that this was a trap, that they caught them in voter fraud. And I mean, if that's the case, then the trap needs to be revealed. You know, it's not you know, they don't need to wait around until they go to the Supreme Court and all. They need to say, this is what's happening now. Let the American people know what happened. And they haven't done that. I haven't heard Trump mention this watermark at all.
I've kind of wondered about that, too, and wonder maybe they're trying to let it go quieter and let it out, you know, easier on everybody instead of having it just suddenly blow up that way. And that may be why the counting had, you know, I mean, the counts seem to have just stopped at the way they were. And if they're in there, you know, checking things, that could slow things down, or they're trying to rearrange, have Trump creep up and get what he needs to go on.
Well, exactly. They need to Trump. Pachinik, he did say that there were 12 states where they had mobilized National Guard and sent in tens of thousands of soldiers. And I haven't seen evidence of that. You know, I mean, the media could be covering it up, but I haven't seen any evidence of that in social media either.
Exactly. Danny, we have another caller. I'm sorry. Did you have a last point, though, that you wanted to make, sir?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay, well, I thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you, Don.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we have Bob in Colorado. Hello, Bob.
Hello there. How you doing? You know, this thing about the watermarks, this is my question, and I heard earlier, and I think it was on RBN, that if each state has to make their own ballots because each state has their own senators, reps, and propositions and everything else, does the federal government mandate that all ballots in all states have to have a watermark? Because if that is true, I don't see how any of the states could sit there and try to pull something like this. So I don't know if Steve Pachinik is correct. I just don't know. I guess we're going to find out here in the next few days. But unless the federal government has control of all ballots in all states that have to have a watermark, that's proof putting right there that Trump won. So I'll listen to you off air. That was my comment. Thank you very much. Great show.
Thank you. Yeah, I guess we will find out in the next few days. I have seen some Department of Homeland Security documents that have been online that talk about ballots and the way that they're printed. These came from 2018, though. It wasn't like this was some secret sting that was just initiated. The ones that I've read, that they started, there was an executive order in September 2018 relating to election integrity that Trump signed, that DHS was referencing. So, you know, I haven't been able to get to the bottom of all that. I've heard about it, but, you know, at this point, it just seems like wishful thinking, although I definitely would be pleased to learn that it's true.
Paul, did you want to respond to that?
I think I agree with Steve there pretty much on that, really. Steve Pachinik and Alex Jones, you know, I've listened to Jones a lot over the years, but he does like to make a very entertaining radio show, regardless sometimes of, you know, his sources and their validity and their credibility, which has gotten him in trouble, of course, as well. But that's kind of how Jones tends to operate. So, I'd agree with Stephen there. It's probably wishful thinking.
Right. Yeah. That's why I've been taking it with a grain of salt. And like Stephen says, we'll see if anything materializes of that. But
I'm almost scared to go to bed tonight, you know, because I've been dreading it. I've had a horrible week, you know, because we've had all these lockdowns and then this election, and I'm just waiting for it. You know, Joe Biden has been announced as the next president. I don't know. It's just, I think, you know, if and when it happens, it's just, even though we've been kind of dreading it, you're probably kind of just assuming on some level of your psyche that, oh, surely it's not going to happen.
The one caller was talking about Germany regarding the government. I was mentioning that article to you earlier, Paul.
Yeah, you did. I was wondering where I heard that from before with the German lawyers. Yeah, yeah.
But dozens of raids over a quote-unquote racist and xenophobic online speech sweep Germany. This was all in conjunction with a bunch of other countries, all under the coordination of Europol. And police had raided dozens of residences in Germany as part of a Europe-wide effort to silence online speech deemed racist and xenophobic. European Union law enforcement agency Europol and German prosecutors say that police have searched 83 apartments and other buildings on Tuesday to seize smartphones and laptops while 96 people are being questioned about quote-unquote hateful posts they made online, said Reuters. A report suggests that some of the raids have been justified over anti-Semitic comments and, in one instance, insulting female politicians. A Europol spokesman confirmed to Reuters that the raids specifically focused on online posts that promote racism and xenophobia. And again, the speech clampdown is a part of an annual drive led by German prosecutors in company with Italy, France, Greece, Norway, Britain and the Czech Republic under the coordination of Europol. So,
yeah, and the ADL and the German Jewish Congress and the Greek Jewish Congress. And
SPLC
wasn't involved.
We have a last minute caller calling back. Actually, Dan in Washington. Hello, sir.
Hey, thanks for taking this. I'll just make a point real quick. That was weird. The last caller said that about Chris Christie and Trump, because I just want to make the point. I think Chris Christie was the one that put Jared Kushner's dad in jail for sexually, like, blackmailing his, uncle or his. Did you hear about that one? So.
Yeah, I did hear about that. It was a divorce case, and it seems like Jared Kushner's dad sent a hooker to maybe his son-in-law or something to demonstrate past behavior. I think that's the way that I heard it mentioned, and he ended up going to jail for this.
Yeah, so it shows maybe Chris Christie was actually a good guy. I don't know, but I could be wrong. So again, it's just. Yeah. All right. No, anyway, well, have a good night. Thanks.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate it. And appreciate both of you gentlemen joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me, Paul. Cheers, Richard. I'll talk with you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Richard. And it's good to speak to you, Steve.
All right. Well, please, folks, support RBN. And thank you for listening. And remember, we have to take back this republic ourselves. We have to get involved and become our local political system and our own independent media. So thank you, have a great evening and a great weekend, and we will
good
speak
night
again.
Richard, good night everyone.
Cheers. We will speak again soon, folks. Cheers.
Take America back. We must take America back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.